Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. What kind of bizarre stories do we have? I didn't even know that Sam Altman was gay. And now we learn that Sam Altman is accused by his sister of raping her when she was young, and he was going into her bed unconsensually, and he was having sex with her, and she says the fact of having sex with her would have helped him discover that he was gay. Well, and that she became a sex kind of sex slave. She became a sex work survivor, or a, how does she call it? We'll see later. She gets engaged in OnlyFans and that kind of sex work since, because she's traumatized and it's her only way to survive. And now Sam Altman is fired from OpenAI. We don't know if it's related to this story, but this story apparently popped out in mainstream media about a month ago. Now, sometimes they want you out, and because they want you out, they will ensure that the stories get coverage. So it's not necessarily the case that it has to be true that Sam Altman raped his sister. In fact, I myself I am habituated to female lies quite a lot, and so I know what it is to have females who are deluded in your surrounding. So I wouldn't say I'm sure that Sam Altman raped his sister, but someone wanted Sam Altman out of ChatGPT, and someone has called the events of today the 9/11 of San Francisco. I guess this is what happens when you base your whole Silicon Valley technology society into what happens also to be the gayest place in America. You end up with a lot of sexual scandals, and I find it fascinating because in the McDonald movie, they say it clearly: what leads to business success is you hire husband and wives who become the owner of your local franchise, and they both work and they involve the family, and that's how it works. But San Francisco has gone the other way, and you end up with a lot of homosexuals who have nothing else to do in life, really, because they don't raise children, and they have nothing else to do in life than to do good. And their good can be banning me on social media. Their good can be, I want to align AI. And whatever it is that Sam Altman was guided by, and will go through. It's very interesting that he gets fired as he was making the circuit, acquiring a kind of independent personality within the Jewish podcast circuit. I find this extremely interesting that Sam Altman may have developed perhaps too much independence from ChatGPT, and perhaps Microsoft was annoyed at this. Perhaps Microsoft has more of an imperialistic overtake of OpenAI than it is presented, because there's been a Microsoft partnership, and that's how Sam Altman characterized it on a performance stage, partnership. But can you truly be partners with Microsoft? Microsoft, which is basically specialized in taking over stuff and making it their own and abolishing any alternatives. Frog Eyes says, is Sam Altman Jewish? Yes, he is. So I don't know what it is. We'll have a look at all the evidence and try to make a judgment from all of this. Catgirl Kulak has an excellent take. The end of the U.S. censorship regime, why commentators are turning on Israel. She says there's this this phenomenon by which there are leftist pro-Palestinians. That is not surprising. It's been going on forever, and the fact that it's increasing is probably due to just the left becoming more woke and more far left. But the fact that recently what we have seen is a bunch of right-wing commentators feeling liberated to talk about this issue and feeling liberated to talk against Israel's interests. And Katgar Kulak is absolutely correct. There is a phenomenon that is happening. Something was freed on the public space. People were bound by contracts, were bound by Jewish money to take certain opinions, and now they are not bound anymore. Part of it is Elon Musk. Part of it is censorship is withdrawing a little bit. Part of it is perhaps the structure of funding of media. But all of it taken together leads to a Candace Owen, to a Matt Walsh, to people to take a position, Charlie Kirk even, to take positions that perhaps they couldn't possibly take before. Perhaps they were contractually bound or indirectly bound in some form through basically the submission of these intellectual groups to social media censorship. Because when you sign the contract, as Steven Crowder has been raising, rightfully so, I would argue, if you sign a contract with Daily Wire and there is punishment in the contract for losing your Twitter account and losing your YouTube account, you are saying, basically, I am handing the control of my own employee to this third party, YouTube, to this random person in San Francisco who will decide if Matt Walsh makes money. That is quite stunning, but that is the state of things. Terrible take by King Crocoduck. He's been particularly bad across the years. As soon as we started, King Crocoduck is this guy who's an anonymous, maybe. I don't know to which extent he revealed his identity, but he was an anonymous YouTuber talking about atheism. And eventually it became clear to me as we were talking more and more about race that that he was probably just a Jew. And he was not willing to engage on any questions of race. And I saw his passive-aggressive tweets on the subject of race at times, super misinformed. But at this point, he was saying the dissident right as the most tactically retarded movement in history. Jewish votes and institutional support were offered to you on a silver platter by the political left, and your response has been to JQ them away. Are you people not actually interested in winning? And my answer to Crocoduck is you wouldn't get it. I'm not interested in winning if it involves abandoning principles. I'm not interested in winning with a diluted version of conservatism. Sure, we could dilute the Republican Party to the point where it's undistinguishable from the Democrat Party. And perhaps then we would win the war of democracy. But that is not interesting at all. And what you do if you were to attract the Jewish vote to Republicans, all you're going to do is that the Republicans will come to be the same Israeli supporters as the Democrats have been. At least the elite of the Democrat has been forever. So it's not about winning. DK Shadow says, what's the point of winning if you become the thing you hate? Exactly. Isn't that a classical cartoon statement of, you know, you become what you hate? Something like this. And the Jews are losing it. They're fucking losing it, man. Michael Rapaport was threatening people that he was putting all people who don't support Israel on lists.
A lot of conversations amongst my Jewish friends about the silence, the disappointment, the disappearing acts on some Doug Henning, David Blaine shit just disappeared, boom, in the air. A lot of people have disappeared.
Well, maybe you had business partners or media partners who didn't deeply agree with genociding the Palestinians.
Disappeared. I'm telling you right now, we are making a list, we are checking it twice, and we already know who's been naughty or nice. See that pun? You see that pun? I'm talking about the Jewish people, but I'm also...
This guy is so in his delusions that he thinks it's a pun to be saying naughty or nice in reference to Christians not supporting him. So he's like, oh, see how clever I am? Naughty or nice, like that's the Santa Claus you believe in, like you Christians, you fucking idiots. That's what he's saying.
Talking Christmas carols. We will not forget. We're not suckers. So when you come around asking for this, that, and the third, come around asking for money, investments, and all that stuff, I promise you, it's being discussed.
Oh, it's being discussed in the great edifice of financial control among the Jews in New York. You know, there he is, a Jew in New York with a New York hat, and he's telling you that his personal friends are enough to scare you. Okay, Michael, at least it's clear. At least you're being honest about it. So basically, the deal you're offering is support the Israeli genocide of Palestine, and we will maybe give you some money to start up your companies, us, the Jews of New York. No, Michael, I reject your offer. Talk to the hand. We have prepared another world, a world in which your money will mean nothing. And I will enjoy every second of the declination from our current world into this new world. And this new world will be so different from yours that people might one day look at your little clip here and laugh their ass off because it's unbelievable that you are asking Christians and the descendant of Christians like me to walk over their principles with respect to human life and humanitarian concerns for a little investment in their fucking business. You think we care about being on your naughty list? You think we don't know that we've been on your naughty list forever? And you didn't want to invest in Western civilization seriously. You invested in systems that you controlled for the purpose of draining Western civilization from its energy. You invested in those systems that you knew you could keep an end on, like academia, and you knew that this money was circling back to you. We're not interested in business opportunities, and we're not going to drop our humanitarian concerns for money. It's so ridiculous. It's so low. You get to see how low they are. Ultimately, they really think of the world at this low level of you're gonna have some punishment here. Eric Weinstein, cultural punishment. Cultural punishment. Michael Rapaport, financial punishment. Okay, so all you have on Western civilization is you guys are like 1% of the population, and you think you're going to whip the rest of the world to guide them toward the right reward mace, like we're fucking mice? Yes, that's how they see the world. That's why they end up writing all these hit pieces. They think they're clever. They think that your hit pieces will not make us redouble with a kind of decision, a redouble with determination in abolishing any form of power you may have on anyone in this nation. Because this extortionist trick of yours, we're tired of it. Fuck you, Michael Rapaport. Let's have a look here. I wanted to clip this, but my button is not activated. There you go. Fuck you, Michael Rapaport. Okay, I got it this time. John Drake says the BTC standard is going to reset the game. Absolutely, man. And the Jews are so late to BTC. They kind of don't like it. You know, you could see in Eric Weinstein, as far as I know, he is the kind of establishment Jew that has most commented on Bitcoin up to now. And even him was from a very from much distance. And so here's one thing in which we'll be capable of having the upper hand when they have to buy it. it's like if you had the lots of diamonds in 1929. Just sit on your diamonds. It's about to become interesting. The White House condemns Elon Musk's post to X that supported anti-Semitic claim. We condemn this aberrant promotion of anti-Semitic and racist hate in the strongest terms, which runs against our core values as Americans. Let us remind ourselves that all that Elon Musk has said is, you just stated the truth. And this was in response to a tweet that was affirming that, hey, Jews as a group have been likely to attack the white majority and to revel in the suffering of the white majority and to call for the abolition of the white majority. They have developed institutions in our nations that hate the white majority, and they have explicitly just expressed hate for white people on Twitter. We have collections of the tweet. It goes on and on and on. They're like JPEGs with 10,000 pixels, and you have to zoom on parts to even see what they contain. So that statement is true. So here's a group. Here's a group that has not been kind to us in the past. And so all that the tweet was saying in response to this is, I'm not particularly warm at the idea of being allied to you in the present because you've been naughty. Michael Rapaport, you've been naughty. When we put President Trump in power, you've been not nice. You've been more like naughty. Elon Musk's ex defends U.S. university student in trouble over a post. Billionaire free speech absolutist had promised to come to the aid of users targeted for what they write on their platform. So Elon Musk is giving legal support to someone at the University of Illinois who was accused in early November of violating the school's student code of conduct after he posted on X promoting an event as an open gathering with free food when it was a closed conference. Okay, but I wonder to what extent was it just that it was a closed conference, or was it one of these Black Safe Space conference? Is his ultimate crime having invited white people in? Because that would be very interesting. I don't know. An open gathering with free food. Campo Largo is at risk of being placed on conduct probation and being kicked out of campus housing as a result of the disciplinary action. If the university does not reverse the preliminary finding, it would result in a violation of his rights, says the lawyer who came in support of X. Should the university uphold and punish Mr. Campo Largo for his September 30 post, he would have a claim against the university for violation of his First Amendment rights. I don't know. We'll have to see what was the circumstance. But that was a promise that Elon has said, and I'm happy that he's following up on it, because I was wondering how many cases he would take. Well, here's his first case. Elon has been kind of disappointing because he said that all forms of calls to genocide on Twitter would from now on be lead to a ban. But there's a problem that you have certain calls of genocide that are coded and yet that are not pursued as coded by X. And then there are other forms of genocide that are coded and that are pursued as coded by X. I'll give you an example. Jordan Peterson saying to Israel, give them hell. I have said at the moment I read this sentence, it is very clear to me that Israel is preparing a genocide, and it's about to happen in a couple of days, and the voices on Twitter are currently calling for genocide. Now, are you going to go after Jordan Peterson, Elon, for saying give them hell? Because if I was to say give them hell, talking about the Jews or talking about black people, I certainly would get in trouble with your ex-team in charge of determining whether I use coded language. So why is it that when we use coded language on the side of Israel killing the Palestinians, we don't see accounts being banned, and yet the same language on the other side will lead to a ban? And you can see Elon already contradicting himself as he tries to lay out the rules. He said, as I said earlier this week, decolonization from the river to the sea and similar euphemism necessarily imply genocide. Clear calls for extreme violence are against our terms of service and will result in suspension. Yes, decolonization necessarily implies a Jewish genocide, thus it is unacceptable to any reasonable person. That is terrible. That is Elon, at the same time as he's challenging the Jewish control over American politics, he is also kneeling to them right here. Because the idea of decolonization, Elon, is a very serious philosophical concern with respect to communities that get dominated by federal governments. I can tell you this from a Canadian to a Canadian. Let me talk to you, Elon, about the Quebecois people. I consider that the Quebecois people in Canada has had its sovereignty revoked by a federal entity that is unjust. I consider that they should have had self-determination, that control over them were ultimately won in a war and through violence. And I consider that the Quebecois people has not consented to being in Canada. And in fact, you can learn about the history of the Night of Long Knives, and you can read about all this, but ultimately they were inserted as part of the Constitution of Canada without having the chance to reject this insertion. It would be totally reasonable for a Quebecois to say we have been the victim of colonialism. And whether you would disagree or agree with this, that's an independent question. But the person who would call for decolonialization here would simply be saying, there's a form of power that is applied over me, and it's unjust. And I would like to fight back. I would like to liberate myself. That in no way means an eradication of the other group. It means an end to the abuse. It means I want to stop this federal entity to control me. That is not a genocide. And so you are playing in very dangerous waters here, Elon, because you are about to censor speech that is legitimate and that is needed for oppressed victims to be able to call out the unjust things that are being done to them. I highly recommend that you step back from these guidelines, Elon. Decolonization does not imply a Jewish genocide. It means I want to remove the state of colonialism. It means I do not want to be a colon. I do not want to be a slave to another entity. I want to free myself and exist independently. In fact, it is totally in line with the two-state solution for Israel, even in the Israel case. And Marty Maid has pointed out, will you suspend the Likud party whose founding charter uses the phrase from the river to the sea in the same way Palestinian activists use it? That's the question that kills. That's the question that hurts. The fact is, the very concept of Israel is the exact same legal aggression that you suggest, Elon, exists on the side of the Palestinians. When the Palestinians are saying, hey, all this land has been taken from us, it's also what Israelis are saying when they use the term Israel. And it's also what they're saying when they say, from the river to the sea. When you have an existential claim to belonging of a property or of something that is under dispute, you cannot choose one side and say, that side, when they say it's theirs, it's okay. But that other side, when they say it's theirs, it's an appeal to kill the other. See, because that's like being a judge, and you would see that there's a case of thievery. Someone has stolen a TV. But the two people are arguing, he stole my TV. And the other guy is saying, no, he stole my TV. You cannot come in there and say, you're going to stop saying that he stole your TV, but you can continue saying it. Because then you have simply made a decision about who was the rightful owner of something. And you have basically imposed the same force, the force of colonialization that has been originally imposed through this federal act. Very dangerous what you're doing, Elon. And I fully disagree with this rule change. You have poorly explained it. You are in contradiction with respect to the standing of the use of this phrase in the Israeli context. Don't do it, Elon. You're going to mess up your free platform, which really matters to me. And, you know, Dr. Eli David was asking, thank you for your stance. So many influential accounts here support Hamas massacre. Will you suspend them? Elon says, anyone calling for a genocide of any people will be suspended. That's an easy rule to say, Elon. The devil is in the details. If when Canada says from one ocean to the other, by the way, it's the motto of Canada, or is it? Yeah, I think it's the motto of Canada. From one ocean to the other. Do you realize that as a Quebecois, it means that my territory is claimed by an external entity? Do you realize that from the perspective of me as a sovereignist Quebecois, from sea to shining sea, that's the English version. See, I know the French version. From my perspective, from my brain, Justin Trudeau saying from sea to shining sea is the exact same thing as from the perspective of a Palestinian hearing Israel say from the ocean to the river, or whatever they say. It is the same thing. It is a federal government that has forced me into a deal that I didn't want to partake of, that has forced me by military violence to be subject of a country that I do not consider myself subject to. And here I'm talking as a sovereignist. Of course, the reality is I'm not a sovereignist anymore because I've come to appreciate Canada, but that's a separate thing. But as a young sovereignist, that is certainly how I would have experienced the words from sea to shining sea. And when you as a platform will decide, well, when Canada says it, it's okay. When Israel says it, it's okay. But when Palestine says it, it's not okay. You are putting your iron fist on the balance of free speech. Please, Elon, be more intelligent. I know you have a great intelligence. I think that you may not have fully thought it out. Sam Altman, what a crazy story. Sam Altman fired from OpenAI, and in a way where OpenAI goes surprisingly harsh on him, because it is a classical thing when you fire your CEO on the fly like this, you're going to use euphemism. you're going to try to communicate as little as possible from the case. And yet you're not going to accuse your CEO of any wrongdoings, because anything you accuse him of actually reflects poorly on you. Because, okay, well, if Sam has been doing something wrong, what about the current value of OpenAI? And so the stakeholders start, the stockholders start being nervous, and rightfully so, and you get a drop of price. But the board went extremely open and, well, by the standard of, you know, public relations, Mr. Altman's departure follows a deliberate review process by the board, which concluded that he was not consistently candid in his communications with the board, hindering its ability to exercise its responsibilities. The board no longer has confidence in his ability to continue leading OpenAI. It is quite surprising when that happens at a peak of financial performance, where ChatGPT has been shocking the world and has developed so much hope. Hope that, in my view, are overstated, but leaving that aside, you know, it's a business success. What happened to ChatGPT? They invented a new thing. This thing of a chatbot has always existed. It was one of the first programs that people were sharing back in the 70s, you know, in the 80s. But the fact that the chatbot could do actual work and be actually useful, that is totally new. And that took the world by surprise. DK Shadow says, another hostile takeover like Project Veritas. Absolutely. That is one of the line of thought that is possible. So is it true that Sam Altman hid something to the board? Or is it just an excuse for some takeover that is the true justification? I don't know. But we'll be exploring all of these hypotheses with the supporting evidence. Richard Spencer, on his side, says, I'm guessing there's a whole lot more to this story. Well, there is a whole lot. So much that it's actually hard to say which branch of explanation is the best. Sam Altman has commented, I loved my time at OpenAI. It was transformative for me personally, and hopefully the world a little bit. Most of all, I loved working with such talented people. We'll have more to say about what's next later. So that is the first clue. What's next later? Of course, Sam Altman had been starting a lot of... And someone was asking, is he Jewish? It does seem, based on his biography, that he has a Star of David here. He does seem strongly Jewish, based on this identifier. He had started a WorldCoin, yes, which I find ridiculous, but it's like an Irish-tied cryptocurrency so that real identity can be assessed. The goal was to tell the difference between bots and real humans. To deliver biometrics like this is kind of scary, to be honest, and it's kind of exactly what crypto was designed not to be. So it's weird, but he started these kinds of initiatives. And with his gay boyfriend, they have another business venture also. So when he says what's next later, I'm thinking, is it possible that what he hid to the board was that he was getting too spread out, that he was developing too much independent business interest that were meant to give him a springboard, to use ChatGPT just as a springboard to something else? Because that's a kind of thing that will worry a board. They want CEOs that are fully dedicated to their success. They want basically the CEO to be trapped in, you have to succeed with us, but not with someone else. If you go out there and start businesses with the same ideas or parallel ideas, then we lose. And we've invested all these billions of dollars in you and in making sure you had the means to do your work. But then you go out there and you become a billionaire from another venture. So it's possible that one of the things he hid to the board was that he had plans for what's next, and the board was insulted by it. And when you consider that Sam Altman has been going around the Lex Friedmans of this world, you can think that he is thinking very hard about having an independent independent circuit for realizations in the future. So DK Shadow says it's all about control. Absolutely. They want to control the CEO. And let's not forget that ChatGPT had just had a massive investment, well, just about a year ago, Microsoft to invest billions in chatbot maker OpenAI. So Microsoft invested about $1 billion initially in 2019, and eventually they dropped 10 more billion, I think, during the course of the year to this year. and they were imposing conditions, and most importantly, they were expecting to convert OpenAI into a kind of sub-product of many Microsoft things. Like, you would have a copilot on Windows, you would have a copilot on Word, so that when you're typing words in Word, instead of typing them, you could say, hey, please write me a paragraph about the story, and please continue the story with the next paragraph. So basically, AI was to be integrated in everything. And AI has been integrated also by Microsoft through coding and co-piloting developers. Now, Sam Altman has always been calling this a partnership. But the fact is, there is some point at which big corporations like Microsoft, they want more. You're not a partner with Microsoft ever, really. You are either a slave to Microsoft, a subcomponent of Microsoft, or you're no one. And so at some point, these big corporations, they start asking themselves, hey, we have this illuminated San Francisco homo who may have raped his sister. He's going on all these Jewish podcasts. He's developing a whole e-celeb reputation around him as if he's more important than us. And ultimately, isn't that a business risk to have this? And he's talking about the goodness to humanity when we want to deliver a product that people will use on the everyday, that each developer in the world could one day pay us $50 per month just because we deliver the best code to them. We help them do their job. So you have a conflict between a business vision. Not that Sam Altman was not a business guy. Of course, he had already commercialized ChatGPT, but he was developing a whole branch of his public personality with which he could fly away easily. He was developing goodwill within the networks of Jewish podcasts. And that may have come to alarm Microsoft. Now, when Microsoft doesn't like you, it's like it's a little bit like when Hillary Clinton doesn't like you. You're lucky if you're not dead the next week, you know? So is it possible that here's an hypothesis that I will drop here. Is it possible that the ultimate explanation is this, that Sam Altman was too free, too much of a founder, too much of a guy on the big questions and intellectual podcast appearance, and that Microsoft was annoyed by this, and through their dark networks of operatives, a la Hillary Clinton, they found something against Sam, and it was the old tweets of his sister claiming that she raped him, that he raped her when she was 4 years old. We'll read the tweets in detail. And that he would have discovered he was gay by raping her. That is the claim, okay? And that, in fact, their father was aware that he had done this, and that Sam Altman, in his kind of narcissism, had bet on the fact that she would come to hate herself so much after the rape, Go Away says, that's not funny, Jeff. I always laugh about rape. Sorry. Sorry, it's my thing. It is funny. Just rape to me is funny. Rape with other circumstances is just even more funny. So she would he would have bet on the fact that that is one thing that her father would have said. Her father would have said, Sam, you are stupid to believe that she would hate herself so much that she would kill herself before obtaining full justice for the rape that you've committed against her. Basically, their father would have said, one day she's going to get justice, and you are completely insane to believe that she will commit suicide before this. She will pursue you with hate until she gets justice, which is what she wants, and she will not allow you to get away with it. So is it possible that what happened today is Annie Altman getting justice? Annie Altman, a OnlyFans star, getting justice for her rape? Or is it all a delusion in a broken mind? Totally possible also. Valet says, Jeff reminding us that he is the superior artist here. I'm the alpha. Like, immediately you say rape, I start laughing my ass off. I'm the alpha artist. Of course, Sam Altman had been raising a lot of critiques when he started going full commercialization of ChatGPT. People felt that, you know, this whole introduction of a payment schedule, pay every month, and pay for ChatGPT-4, they felt that it sucked. And there was also coverage indicating that ChatGPT's founder, Sam Altman, is openly gay. There must be many queer individuals in the tech world, but the only other gay CEO I know is Tim Cook of Apple. So it came as a positive surprise for me to learn that Sam is gay, especially after I've been using ChatGPT a lot. Okay. Now, here's the sister of Sam Altman. I know it's not good taste to comment on the beauty of a rape victim, but she's particularly ugly. I'm kind of stunned that she is a OnlyFans person. It goes to show that there are various tastes in humanity, and we all differ in taste, and there is a market for basically everyone. So Annie Altman's abuse allegations against OpenAI's Sam Altman highlight the need to prioritize humanity over tech. The allegations were made in 2021, as there was a big problem between her and Sam Altman, and she started speaking. There are some comments of her in 2018 up to 2021 on Twitter and on her podcast. And eventually their dad died, and Sam Altman withheld the testament, the will of his dad, so that he could hold something over her head. He offered her, if you have money trouble, I can give you a house and show you the will of dad. But you have to commit to not ever talk again about the sexual allegations against me. So he tried to extort her with the will of her dad by withholding the money of her dad that was meant for her. He sent her a talk to his lawyer, and his lawyer was delaying, and he was not responsive to her. So it was all a trickery to get her to sign a paper that would shut her up forever. She has refused to shut herself up. And we therefore get an account of the series of claims here. I'm not 4 years old with a 13-year-old brother climbing into my bed non-consensually anymore. By the way, you're welcome for helping you figure out your sexuality. I've finally accepted that you've always been and always be more scared of me than I've been of you. So here, her claiming that she was victimized sexually at the age of 4 years old when Sam Altman was 13. Ah, you're nervous I'm defending myself? Refusing to die with your secrets? Refusing to allow you to harm more people? If only there was little sister with a bed you could uninvited crawl in, or sick 20-something sister you could withhold your dead dad's money from to cope. So here she is referring both to this event of rape when she was younger, and also saying the abuse kind of continued when she was 20-something, as Sam was withholding her dad's will and making it hard for her to get the inheritance from her dad. Sam and Jack, I know you remember my Torah portion was about Moses forgiving his brothers. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they've done. Sexual, physical, emotional, verbal, financial, and technological abuse never forgotten. So here you can see a whole Jewish aspect to this this Jerry Springer family business. She considers that there was not just the rape at 4 years old. There was a series of verbal, technological abuse, physical. She has claimed in various places that her coming out with this story was censored. She has claimed that Sam Altman may have enough power within San Francisco to get some of her posts removed. And you have to grant it, you know, it's possible. When we see the Twitter files, it's a bunch of people drinking wine together in San Francisco deciding whether you can speak. So it's totally reasonable to think that he may have flexed some power to shut down this story, especially given that she provides the evidence of, well, she tried to extort her. He tried to extort her to shut up about this story. DK Shadow says, yep, pre-Elon was so corrupt. Let's continue. Thank you for the love and for calling a spade a spade. I experienced every single form of abuse with him. Sexual, physical, verbal, psychology, pharmacological, forced Zoloft. Also later told I'd receive money only if I went back on it, and technological shadow banning. I experienced sexual, physical, emotional, verbal, financial, and technological abuse from my biological siblings, mostly Sam Altman, and some from Jack Altman. So apparently there is another brother in the story. She says he was also rough to her, but not as much as Sam Altman. And she mentions the forced Zoloft. So we have a case of a woman who may have psychiatric disorders or who may have genuinely been misdiagnosed. The thing is, if she has a psychiatric disorder that leads her to make all these false claims, it would be likely either bipolar or schizophrenia. She's having psychosis. If all of this is false, if she's imagined all of this, she has schizophrenia or something like this, or schizoaffective disorder. But if all of this is true, then she was forced to take Zoloft against her will, and shouldn't have been given it. And basically, she was shut down by the very family members who had abused her and who had led her to make these claims, which could be true. So you can have the two alternative scenarios in your mind here. Either she's completely delusional or she's completely right. And therefore, yes, this Zoloft forcing on her was unjust. And in fact, it's always unjust, even if you have if you have a genuine disorder, we should not be in a society that forces you to take medications against your will. I experienced shadow banning across all platforms, except OnlyFans and Pornhub. Also, I had 6 months of hacking into almost all of my accounts and Wi-Fi when I first started the podcast. Some commenters on Hacker News claimed that a post regarding Annie's claims that Sam sexually assaulted her at age 4 has been repeatedly removed. I feel strongly that others have also been abused by these perpetrators. I'm seeking people to join me in pursuing legal justice, safety for others in the future, and group healing. Please message me with any information. You can remain however anonymous you feel safe. This tweet endorsed to come out of my drafts by our dad. He also said it was poor foresight for you to believe I would off myself before justice is served. And that is a sentence I have put on the thumbnail tonight. Justice is served, with the little girdle sign. So here she's saying that in discussions with her dad, first her dad was agreeing to be coming out against Sam for his actions. That is interesting, because if it was the case that she's schizophrenic and she's completely delusional, it would seem that her dad should be healthy, or that if he's also schizophrenic, he should have different hallucinations. So normally a dad will not come to reinforce the hallucinations of his schizophrenic daughter if they are completely false, especially if they tarnish the reputation of his own son. So I find it interesting that the dad encouraged her to come out with this story. To me, it gives some degree of credibility. Of course, she could be hallucinating also the dad's approval. Now, the dad is dead, so I guess we'll never know. But it's very rare that a schizophrenic will find allies in reinforcing their claim, especially not if a brother is involved, because this dad must have cared for Sam Altman to some extent. Sam's nuclear backpack may also hold our dad and grandma's trust, which him, Sam, and my birth mother are still withholding from me, knowing I started sex work for survival because of being sick and broke with a millionaire brother. And so here she is complaining that while her brother is becoming this celebrity of the AI world and becoming a millionaire, she is stuck working as a sex worker to survive. Someone was replying, I feel like you are misrepresenting things here. If the article is correct, of course. Sam offered to buy Annie a house. Isn't that a big financial help? And she makes the case that when Sam offered her a house, it was attached to all sorts of conditions, including binding her to not talk about her rape that had happened when she was 4 years old. So it was a house, but a house that came with conditions. Annie states that Sam's technological abuse, shadow banning, has made it hard for her to make an income and financially support herself. She got diagnosed with feet problems, tendinopathy. I got notified almost exactly a year after his death about my dad leaving me money, so make a plan to stop working for 6 months and focus on my health. So they withheld information from her that her dad had left money to her. I got notified almost exactly a year, blah, 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 same thing. I do 2 family therapy sessions and I'm professionally advised to stop doing family therapy sessions. So yeah, so therapy sessions are absolutely bad. I have 2 years of remembering horrific things I had buried and told myself I made up, and experienced adult essays that brought up even more memories. So she has documented this claim publicly for a long time. And from her Instagram account, if the multiverse is real, I would love to meet the version of me who did run away to the circus at 5 years old after telling her birth mother about wanting to end this life thing and being touched by older siblings, and said mother decided to instead protect her sons and demand to receive therapy and cures only from her female child. So it seems that the mother would have sided with the boys then. The mother would have... I mean, we've often seen in abusive families, the females are completely out there, sometimes siding with the abuser. But was it true, or was she just weird from the start with psychiatric problems from 5 years old? Everything is possible. A Facebook post or Instagram post. Hello, Internet. I've gotten myself into a very difficult position as I've been unable to work as much as I've needed due to my mental and physical health. I put myself in a financially risky position to pursue my one-woman show and podcast, and then had unexpected costs with health and technical difficulties. I'm dealing with the consequences of my own decision, and I need help. My Venmo is at Annie Altman if you're able. In this calendar year, I observed the one-year anniversary of my dad's death, discussed another mental health label to add to my collection, blah, blah, blah. Wi-Fi, modems. Okay. Well, you know, life seems hard for Annie here. Takes Zoloft for obsessive compulsive disorder, anxiety, depression, tapered herself off of Zoloft at age 22, graduated in biopsychology, which is a very high risk factor for being fucked in the head. Listen, life is not easy. Like, you just looking at how ugly she is, you wouldn't guess that life is actually that hard. You would say, oh my God, it sucks to be that ugly. But on top of being that ugly, she also has all of these issues in her life. So in conclusion, this is a female who is overly calling for pity. The chances that she is correct in her allegations are 50-50 to me. It's like coin flip. So I don't know that what we have read here about Sam Altman is true. She is a very troubled individual. Certainly, some things may have happened to her. I don't know if Sam Altman committed them, as she tells the story of, especially when they root this kind of abuse so far in the past. You know, memory at 4 years old is not that good, and much of reconstructionism can happen as part of therapy, and you can have the reinforcement of the crowd if you do this on the internet, and the reinforcement of the psychotherapist if you do this on the couch. And it can lead to false conclusions. But overall, the story was out there, and it's also a possibility, we should say, that this was not just a hostile overtake on an opportunity from Microsoft. It could be that Sam Altman, when they hired him as CEO, there's always these little things in the contract that says, you need to inform us about any reputational risks that you have that you have, that we have in taking you as an employee. And it's very possible that Sam Altman may have said, there's no reputational risk. I have no bad stories, no skeletons in my closet. And then the board may have discovered these stories, which started making it to initially lesswrong.com and eventually msn.com. And that in October, they have said, well, this is becoming big enough last month. We're going to have to do something. Now, why would they have delayed? Why would they have delayed up to now to fire him? Well, it's because Sam Altman was on a tour for announcing the Microsoft partnership and the whole growth that was related to the Microsoft products that will use OpenAI. And it's possible that the board said, let's do an investigation. Let's make it last through these whole, because Sam Altman was on a stage like 2 weeks ago, I think, with the CEO of Microsoft. So that's not a small thing. You don't want to come out with these rape allegation firing of Sam Altman before this. So what's possible is that the board saw these allegations back in October, said, hey, we have way too much stuff on the schedule with this guy. We can't get rid of him. And it's possible either that pressure came from the Microsoft side or from the board side that said, we have to get rid of him, but we have to wait in November. And that's why you would have Sam Altman having been gotten rid of today. All of this is of very low importance overall. To me, ChatGPT is an interesting innovation, but it's overdone, it's oversold, and people were raising on the Twitter space about the subject. This is obtained at super high computational cost. Sam Altman has been describing the cost in computation to operate the current ChatGPT platform as eye-watering. It is ridiculous the number of servers that are crunching numbers constantly just to deliver those small responses, just to train the algorithm and then to execute the algorithm. We're talking about millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars of investment to just get started, to just have enough computer to make it happen. And the idea of serving the whole world with this product is kind of out of this world in terms of current possibility. Something's got to give. And it's possible, this was raised also on the Twitter space as a hypothesis, it's possible that what Sam had hidden to the board was the true computational cost. Another possibility that was raised on this Twitter space, it's possible that Sam did not reveal that he was spending Microsoft money on projects that were too out there. It's possible that when the money flow came from Microsoft with their billions of dollars, he trickled it down a road that the board didn't like. It may have had to do with humanitarianism, or it may have had to do with developing something grandiose, but not necessarily commercializable. That's also a possibility. And finally, one possibility that I found interesting, but there's no evidence for it, we're talking about a domain that is highly tied to intelligence services. Like, they won't talk about it, but you saw how Twitter itself was tied to the FBI and they were having these weekly meetings. Is it possible that... That's one hypothesis I find very interesting. That Sam Altman, in his Jewishness, may have done something with respect to national security that totally offended the board? Is it possible that he gave some information that was of national concern and allowed it to be transferred between Israel and the US, or kind of made himself kind of part of this Israeli conflict in some way, in some form that the board found dishonest? I find this interesting as a possibility. Of course, it's less supported than what's on the table. What's on the table here is we have a guy with a major reputational risk, with a woman who's obsessed going after him and who will spend the rest of her life going after him until he's destroyed. And at some point, the pros at Microsoft must have been annoyed by this. The Lex Fridman of this world will not be annoyed by this, but the Microsoft, they are in the business of looking good, and they're in the business of control. And Altman, one day or another, would become none of these two things, neither controllable nor looking good. DK Shadow says, if Altman flies to Israel, we will know. I find it interesting because it's still unknown the extent to which this AI program, like, what is the involvement of secret services in this? Is it that, oh, they might give a couple millions and want to be partners at some point and benefit from it? Or is it like extreme involvement? Because wherever you see these warnings about hate speech, we know from the Twitter files that the government is going strong at this. Now, ChatGPT is the center of warnings about edgy subjects. And so if the US government was involved through the Twitter files at controlling Twitter so much, making it a censored platform, it would be totally logical that they have an equivalent relationship, if not greater relationship, with ChatGPT. Atomic Dissonance sends a super chat. He says, JF, have you read the novels of Michel Houellebecq? This Altman thing sounds like it came right out of one. No, I didn't read these novels. I saw the man appear on TV many times, in French TV, but I have never been so interested as to read fiction. And so here you have the Twitter account of Annie Altman, 21 plus. That is a OnlyFans account. You can see her OnlyFans links at Fuck Philosophy. But honestly, seeing the level of ugliness in her hair and face, I am not interested at seeing any more than this. I have written to her before the show to ask if she would have any public comments to do, if she was happy about her brother losing his job, or does she celebrate this, or what? She has not answered. She has not answered. And her podcast is named All Humans Are Humans. Music, movement, comedy, tantra. Are your kinks free will, or are they predetermined? So she's flirting between the OnlyFans sex girl and the philosopher. Just like Sam Altman was increasingly surfing between the CEO position at a tech company and a philosopher of the Jewish podcast network. That is what happens between brothers and sisters. They sometimes look like each other. Go away, says JF. OpenAI president Greg Brockman just quit. Yes, I had seen this. I mean, just. I had seen this before the show began, actually. Greg Brockman quits OpenAI after abrupt firing of Sam Altman. And Martin Shkreli has had a speculation on this. Martin Shkreli says there is a foundational sex scandal at the root of ChatGPT, and it's not Sam Altman. So he says all of the stories that I just presented, he says that's not it. There is something much more scandalous at the root of the founding of ChatGPT, OpenAI, but it involves someone else than Sam Altman. So I don't know. well, is this guy the person who would have committed this alternative sexual scandal claimed by Martin Shkreli? I don't know. But yeah, probably a quit of loyalty here. I'm super proud of what we've all built together since starting in my apartment 8 years ago. We've been through tough and great times together, accomplishing so much despite all the reasons it should have been impossible. But based on today's news, I quit. Genuinely wishing you all nothing but the best. I continue to believe in the mission of creating safe AGI that benefits all of humanity. And so it's possible that him and Sam Altman had their little plan to kind of, oh yeah, we're gonna do this whole deal with Microsoft, but we're gonna go on the side and do something even better. And so that is why you get fired as a CEO. The boards don't like this. Microsoft doesn't like this. You can't have your little projects on the side. So yes, that is it. That is it for tonight. Positive news, Microsoft, although it's about Microsoft, it's totally unrelated. Microsoft will let users uninstall Edge, Bing, and disable ads on Windows 11 as it complies with the Digital Markets Act. Thank God. It took the Europeans to shake up Microsoft and say, stop this shit. Have you installed Windows recently? It's fucking pathetic. They beg you to keep Edge installed. And even when you Google Chrome, they add a little label above it and they say, did you know that Edge is made with the same software base as Google Chrome? No, I didn't know. And then you download Google Chrome and then they tell you, are you sure you want... You can't install this program on this computer unless you go switch the S security in this part of the control panel, but we're not going to tell you exactly where it is. And it's like, what? There's a security setting in Windows to stop Google Chrome from being installed. You have to go disable it. And then once you have Google Chrome installed, they're like, okay, you installed Google Chrome, but I'm not going to make Google Chrome your default browser. You need to go enable it in the default file opener options. Now you go to the default file opener options, and they won't let you change it to just Google Chrome. You have to click through 20 menu dropdowns so that .htm goes to Google Chrome, .html goes to Google Chrome, .php goes to Google Chrome. It's a whole 5 minutes just fighting the pathetic attempt of Bill Gates at keeping you to use Edge. Anyways, I hope that they don't go as hard in disabling user comfort on ChatGPT once they control all of it. Thank you.